Okay, good afternoon, class, and welcome back to therapeutic exercise, right? And you know who I am because I keep telling you. And you guys know who you're not, right? Yeah, that's good. And I will tell you, if you continue to laugh at my jokes, it'll stimulate continued jokes, and maybe one day when that camera gets off me, we'll have a lot of fun. But kinetic, what does kinetic mean? Motion, movement. Anytime you see kinetic, you have to think movement. Kinetic energy is the energy of movement. Kinesiology is the study of human movement. Kinesthesia is your body's ability to know how it moves. So when you see kinetic, it's got to be about movement, right? So kinetic chain, the chain. Our body is a kinetic chain, all right? It's from the ground up, and it goes from our heels to our earlobes and beyond. But it's a kinetic chain, all right? So when you think chain, think the body's systems for movement, and kinetic is movement. So we got a no-da factor on that term if you know what kinetic and chain refer to, okay? Read all about it. Read more all about it. These are all good points, but... So there's your kinetic chain, right? Check this out. Imagine this being the ground. There's your ankle joint, your knee joint, your hip joint. And here's kind of where your head, your melon comes down on your shoulders here. Human movement historically linked to mechanical engineering concepts. So this CKC, this closed kinetic chain, it's referring to this chain right here, okay? This link concept. I just really want you guys to appreciate this chain. If you can think of this as being joints connected by chain movement, okay? Just really think about the body being a chain, right? What happens at the knee can affect the hips. What happens at the hips can affect the shoulders, okay? It's just a chain. What happens at the ankle affects all of them. So the lower leg's a good example. You know, you look at that center link of the knee. If you move at the knee, it's going to change the flexion and extension angles of both the hip and the ankle, right? Does anybody have a doubt that the lower extremity or the body is a chain system? Anybody doubting that concept? Okay, you guys are tracking. You guys are tracking. So, there's two types of chains. There's an open and there's a closed. And that's all we're going to talk about today, all right? Now let's talk about that open chain. That distal segment, in this case, this young lady's foot. In this case, Andre Agassi, who, his hair pattern is very sexy, if you ask me. His racket head is open. There's no platform that he's actually swinging through or meeting resistance, okay? I don't know what this guy is doing, but he needs to put some clothes on. But the distal segment is free, all right? There's non-weight bearing involved, all right? 9 times out of 10, there's going to be some type of weight bearing component. The weight bearing could come, now, can your upper body bear weight? Yes, it could bear weight. When you get in the push-up position, you are bearing weight, okay? So, just keep that in mind. Now, the closed chain, let's look at this. It's a little differently, okay? Check this cat out. He's cruising down. That could be Bodie Miller. His feet, his skis, his bindings are in contact with that mountain there. This young man is a naval officer. Hopefully he's an 04 by now. He's probably out in the Mediterranean doing great things or something. It's a great Navy. But his foot, he's doing a balanced core strengthening exercise. His foot, his ankle, is in contact. It's weight-bearing. It's fixed, okay? And then... I don't like this as an example, but it's true. Technically, this gentleman riding this bike, he's got a fixed distal segment and he's weight bearing. Okay. Now, comparisons to closed and open kinetic chain, and I'm going to give you examples. I'm going to teach you, and before you leave this room, you have to understand this concept because for some reason. If you guys would concur, did you take this exam last time? You lasted this long? No, I'm only kidding. It's a difficult concept when you, especially if it's late in the exam, and all those answers are starting to look the same. So with a distal segment, so there's comparisons. And the way we look at it is, you know, what's the distal segment doing? All right, is it fixed or is it mobile? All right, now, when I'm doing a squat, okay, I know you all can't see my feet, but you know where they're not. When I'm doing a squat and my training surface is there, and my distal segment, my ankles and my feet, they're fixed, okay? I'm pushing up off of a platform, all right? That's a closed kinetic chain exercise. Yet, if I put myself in a leg extension machine, and I'm purely doing leg extensions that Jimmy brought, because this body's by Jimmy, and I'm doing those leg extensions, my distal segment, my ankle, my lower extremity, is not fixed any longer. It's moving freely in air, okay? It might have some resistance, and it may be dictated by other motions, but technically, that's a mobile distal segment. Therefore, it is an open kinetic chain. Are we into rocket science yet? No? Is everybody tracking? Man, I'm telling you, you guys are doing it. Fear is an awesome, awesome motivator. Predictability of motion. Now, when I talk about failing and not doing well on exams, it's not to instill fear, but to wake up and talk about the realism of this course. But when I talk about failing, it's more in the component, in the context of not failing, right? That's our job, not to fail. So typically, if you show me a closed kinetic chain exercise, it's very, very predictable. I can't do too much with a squat. You know where my motions are going. And if there's variations, typically it's wrong, right? But in an open kinetic chain exercise, that could be a throwing motion. You know there's all different type of pitchers and throwers out there, so there's going to be less predictability, right? Another example, push-up. You can't really mess with a push-up that much, okay? But if you do some flies or some other motions, you could do them all different ways, right? We could do them up high with cables. We can do them, you know, you can change it. So typically, closed kinetic chain exercises are much more predictable than open kinetic chain. Does that make sense, sports fans? Movement relative to the joint axis, all right? And we'll go through that. But the movement relative to the joint axis, typically you see joint axes move. I don't want to beat that up too much because I don't want to confuse you too much. Muscle activation is a good thing. When you see a lot of muscles being activated, a lot, big muscle groups, like when we talk about, you know, the push-up, okay, versus a chest fly, well, the push-up is a closed kinetic chain exercise, all right? My chest, my deltoids, my triceps, they're all working. Whereas if I did an open kinetic chain, maybe a chest fly, right, a dumbbell fly, it's really, really concentrating on a single muscle group, my pectoralis major. There might be a little bit anterior deltoid, but not a lot. There's definitely no triceps, right? So if you see a lot of muscle activation, you're probably going to be smarter by choosing closed kinetic chain, right? As opposed to an open kinetic chain. Application of resistance, we're talking about that. Load external and rotary versus axial. And this is what I think throws a lot of people off. External and rotary. Oftentimes, most times, if you look at the joint, what's going on at the joint, okay, there is a rotation motion to it. Okay, if you look at my knee extension on that leg extension, there's rotary type motions. Okay, there can be some twisting, but there's a lot of rotation involved. And there's typically like an external force involved. Whereas with a closed kinetic chain, if you look at the same joint, instead of rotation being the primary factor there, it's more of a loading. All right, there's a lot of compression between my tibia and my femur. Okay, we call it an axial load, where there's more kind of compression-oriented type things. And we look at that because in the clinical setting, oftentimes an axial load is much more important because we want to get weight-bearing activities that are consistent with bone growth and bone loading. Okay, don't get too wrapped up on it, but you have to know the difference between a rotary and an axial type load. Okay, rotary, typically the joint's opening and closing. Like there's a lot of rotary type motion right now in my elbow from doing kind of like a bicep curl. And if I was to get on that and do that push-up, there's more of a kind of an axial load, more of a compression type component onto that elbow between the ulna and the humerus, okay? So, stabilization, external versus internal, and the types of contraction. There's a huge, huge eccentric component to closed kinetic chain exercises. And that's oftentimes why we will incorporate, like a squat. When you're doing a squat with a bar in the gym, is everybody pretty familiar with that exercise? Doing a squat in the gym, right? Coming down, and you're going back up. You really have to control that eccentric load, okay? Whereas, a lot of times, if I'm just doing a leg extension, I definitely have to get away with the concentric, but you can let gravity oftentimes take care of the eccentric load and get away with it, okay? Well, oftentimes, eccentric, you guys know from your own weight training and physical fitness, oftentimes the eccentric component of working out, it's just neglected. It's ignored or not emphasized. And when that happens, it's because it's typically a open chain exercise, right? An open kinetic chain exercise. It's really hard to neglect the eccentric load of a closed kinetic chain exercise because a lot of times you decelerate too fast and then it's very uncomfortable. Good. All right. And then joint congruency. There's a lot of joint congruency with a closed kinetic chain exercise. All right. So we're going to break it down a little bit. So what are the benefits? Typically in a rehab setting, we really like closed kinetic chain exercises. They take a lot less pressure off the joint that's consistent with healing, okay? When I say pressure, I shouldn't say pressure off the joint. They take a lot of stress off tissues that get injured, all right? For instance, when we do leg extension exercises immediately after an anterior cruciate ligament injury, the anterior cruciate ligament, its main job is to stabilize the tibia on the fibula, on the femur. But if we do an open kinetic chain exercise too soon, there's going to be a lot of shearing between those two bones, and that wouldn't be ideal, okay? We don't want to shear those bones because there's a brand new graft holding those two bones together. So instead of doing like an open kinetic chain exercise that potentially could be dangerous, we'd much rather have them do a closed kinetic chain squat, okay? So we look at these things. We'd rather have joint compression versus joint shear in a lot of rehab settings, okay? So one of the benefits of closed kinetic chain is we get that compression. Joint compression is a really good thing if it's not excessive, because that's what gets a lot of nutrients to the structures inside the joint capsule. And shear oftentimes for a joint is not good, okay? Doesn't that just sound bad for a joint? What'd you do today? I sheared my joint. Ooh, don't do that. Okay, we love eccentric muscle action. Why do we love that, sports fans? Why do we? Yeah, we get good microfailure. It is consistent with good muscle adaptation needs. Plus, it's consistent with activities of everyday life. A closed kinetic chain exercise, it will have increased proprioception and balance components. Proprioception is your body's ability to know where it is in space. Balance is pretty straightforward. But when you're doing closed kinetic chain exercises, like that young man is doing here, this is a close. Do you see the balance and proprioceptive type components of that exercise right here? So that's why we like that. It's functionally based. Most of the activities that we do in everyday life are closed kinetic chain. You get this co-contraction. This is the take-home message oftentimes. If we want to work a lot of muscle groups in a way consistent that we use them, we like co-contraction exercises, all right? And Wolf's Law. We stress in functional patterns to enhance collagen alignment. As we're healing, oftentimes exercises that are consistent with closed kinetic chain, just by instinct and the nature of the activity, will incorporate Wolf's Law. So here's compression versus shear. I can't make it any more simple than this. When you start seeing compression versus shear on the exam, just bring your brains back to this picture, okay? Articular cartilage handles compression better than shear forces, all right? And this is probably true with anybody that's had any type of knee injury, okay? Oftentimes, if you jump and you land safely and you get that compressive component, that compressive axial loading, that arrow going from one bone into the other, there's mechanisms established within your knee and your knee joint structures to handle that very well. The shearing force, it's not so bad if you're doing a controlled weight like this young lady is, but can you imagine the shearing force during athletic participation? Or maybe you have torn this ligament, this anterior cruciate ligament, and now you're sprinting and you have to stop real fast. You get a lot of shear in that leg. So, can you understand why this would not maybe be the best thing, the shearing force, for someone that just had a ligament right here repaired? Okay. So, oftentimes we will choose a closed kinetic chain exercise because the mechanisms for healing and for safety, a closed kinetic chain exercise would be much more appropriate and safe. Are we tracking, sports fans? Okay. Are we into rocket science yet? Okay. Please, please, by all means, on the exam, when you see compression versus shear, all right, you should kind of have some mental imagery of these two pictures here. Compression, oftentimes good. Shear, oftentimes bad. All right? I'm not... Please, 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 never ever confuse my vernacular or my tone to like a suggestion that you guys aren't intelligent, okay? Never ever think that I'm talking down to you. I just really like to emphasize these points based on previous success or failures on exams, okay? And I'm doing it because oftentimes maybe it was me and my teaching style that may have contributed to those failures, okay? So if I talk real slow like you guys are Forrest Gump, it's because of me, okay? Jen A. Okay, it's too early for the Forrest Gump impersonations, but we'll wait till we cover the buttocks, okay? All right, so, but if I start talking like Forrest Gump, it's because of me, not you guys, all right? Yes, please, Mr. King. Did you guys hear that question? That's awesome. Typically speaking, definitively yes, okay? Shear forces are more consistent with open chain exercises, whereas compression forces are more consistent with closed kinetic chain exercises. Great question. That's an awesome question. Okay. Closed kinetic chain always gets both eccentric and concentric, which is more functional. I don't know what's happening here, but it's supposed to be a concentric exercise. We got a platform and a training surface that's in contact with the distal segment here. All distal segments, right? So, you know, we can hypostulate what's going on here, but we don't want to do that. But the good thing about a kinetic chain exercise, it will always have an eccentric and a concentric component, which is huge. And we won't make any Navy jokes there either. Okay. Now, compression of tissue activates joint mechanoreceptors. Mechanoreceptors are our friends when they're working well. It encourages a feedback loop to the brain, which is good, and improves retraining of balance activities. The unfortunate thing is when you guys get injured, or when we get injured, if you're injured and on the shelf, even for a short period of time, those mechanoreceptors and our balance strategies become fatigued and compromised very, very quickly. Okay? It doesn't take long to lose proprioception and mechanoreceptor ability. So closed kinetic chain exercises retrain those things very well, and it has an ability for us to go back into activity very quickly. A good example is when you sprain your ankle. Anybody ever have an ankle sprain? No way. No way. Okay. That thing swells up like all crazy. You know, oftentimes looks really bad. But that swelling is enough to really confuse the mechanoreceptors within that joint. And they become deconditioned and confused. And now they don't work well. If we don't put that patient back in an environment to retrain those mechanoreceptors, they're going to go out and they're going to walk on uneven terrain and it feels like they're walking on eggshells, like it's just a matter of time when they sprain their ankle again. But if you do balance and proprioceptive exercises that are consistent with closed kinetic chain, oftentimes you can just move right through. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. And, I guess this is a balance measure right here, this young lady. If my hands ever look like that, correct me. Okay? All right. Functionally based. Oftentimes, our closed kinetic chain activities are very consistent. Here's a nice closed kinetic chain. While she's changing her... Don't confuse this leg. What's happening up the kinetic chain, the real deal, look what's happening at the quad. Her calf muscles are firing. She's getting a lot of eversion and dorsiflexion on that ankle, we're trying to mirror her everyday life. So her closed kinetic chain component of that exercise is good, G-O-O-D, right? Co-contractions. When we do exercises that stimulate co-contractions and retraining of other muscle groups, we like this, all right? As far as this exercise goes, she's getting a lot of gluteal muscle firing. Her abductors and adductors are firing. Her hip flexors here are firing, but her hamstrings are also going to have to fire. Everything's going up and down the closed kinetic chain. Injury in one joint often leads to weaknesses in surrounding muscle groups, and we neglect that oftentimes with open kinetic chain exercises. Are you guys starting to get the sense that closed kinetic chain exercises are our friend? Okay, good. Now, there's a time and a place definitively, right, for open kinetic chain, but there's some good benefits of closed kinetic versus open kinetic. And then, just to touch upon, because those functional exercises are easier to, you know, re-emphasize and redo in the clinic, because they're functionally based, when you do things that are functionally based, it's just instinctive that your healing collagen fibers are going to heal down in the direction that we need them to work, right? So I use closed kinetic chain exercises very early in the rehab component if it doesn't hurt the people, because there's good range of motion and good lineal, straightforward plane motions. A good example is, okay, I am trying to get someone up and moving with some range of motion, right? And it might not be the easiest thing right now for them to do what we call a PEEF, a passive extension, active flexion right off the edge of a table. But I know I can put them on a bike, right? Have their foot in contact with that training surface, which is technically the pedal. Maybe it's to the left leg, and I can let the right leg take the left for a ride. Okay? So through this co-contraction, these multiple angle activities, I'm tricking this patient into doing some range of motion, and we slowly lower the bike's seat, and we get some better range of motion implications there. That's what that means. But all right. So how do we get the upper extremity involved? It's often forgotten, but technically your hand needs to be in contact with the training surface, and your training surface can't be free flowing in the air. Okay. Andre Agassi, when he was holding his tennis racket was not the training surface, right? It was the distal segment for his sport, right? If you look at this naval officer here, he's doing some type of core stabilization or shoulder rocking, but his hand, his distal segment's in contact with the treatment table. Some weight shifts. This is called the fitter. You see this up in the clinic, and this is a closed kinetic chain exercise. You can use shoulder exercises to get this going. Oftentimes, if you have instability, we'll get people going with upper body closed kinetic chain exercises. Yes, please.
Isn't there a good thing for open, though, like towards the end, the maturation stage and stuff, would it be better for like stabilized muscles?
You know, that's a great question. And I can just answer by, you're stealing my thunder, brother. No, that's okay. No, for sure, for sure. And you will see, and that's exactly what we do. We start to introduce the more aggressive open kinetic chain exercises in the later phases of rehab, oftentimes. Not always. And there's a time and a place for a open kinetic chain exercise. A good early phase open kinetic chain exercise that we do is a thing called a short arc quad, where if you can imagine me laying down on a table, I have a bolster underneath my leg, little to no weight on my ankle, and I'm just straightening out my leg and bending it, straightening and bending. It's a very short arc. My leg, my foot, is opening to an open segment, but there's not a lot of shear force there because there's no weight. What I'm doing is I'm contracting my quadriceps real good. It's an open kinetic chain exercise. It's not aggressive. It's appropriate for the early phase of rehab. But if I was to put a lot of weight on that, then there would be some shear that probably isn't really good for some folks with some injuries or surgeries. Okay? But that's a great point. So treatment consideration, center of mass placement. So center of mass, typically your hips are right over your knees. All right. When that doesn't happen and your hips are past your knees, you start to work your hip extensors. Whereas when your hips become in front of your knees, it's more knee muscles and calf muscles. Body alignment of the proximal and distal segments. So where the proximal stabilization is often affects distal motion. So contraction of the abs or glutes while doing a lateral step up. Sure, I'll go for that. I don't want you to get too wrapped up on that, sports fans. Body alignment of proximal and distal segments. Okay. So, we gave out the shout-outs for a closed kinetic chain, right? Now let's give some props to open kinetic chains. How's my vernacular? How's my terminology? Do I have fairly decent street cred with you guys? Okay, cool. All right. Help me out. I'm 37. I'm not that hip. I just think I am. So, open kinetic chain is more effective for isolating specific muscle groups. Can anybody give me an example of an open kinetic chain exercise and what muscle group it would be isolating? I'm sorry?
Overhead arm clap.
Overhead arm clap. Okay. That's an open kinetic chain exercise. And what muscle group is that technically isolating? Yeah, deltoid. Okay, good. Anybody got any other examples? Hamstring leg curls. I'm assuming either sitting up or in prone, right? That's an awesome, awesome example. You're sitting there, your resistance is kind of right around your Achilles or calf, and you're curling your legs into you. What's your name?
Jellison.
Nice. So, and we're really isolating what muscle group? Okay, perfect. Yes. Swinging a baseball bat. Definitively an open kinetic chain exercise. And what muscle groups do you typically isolate? A lot of shoulders. You get some lats. Yeah. There's probably one primary mover. If we look at that motion and you're swinging, it's mostly, if we're doing horizontal abduction, probably posterior deltoid and there's some extension there, so we got some latissimus dorsi. And I just mentioned that because it makes me sound really smart to know all that stuff. Okay, good. Good. All right, good. Closed kinetic chain may allow stronger muscles to become stronger while masking relative weakness of other muscles. Can you guys appreciate that? So I have a really, really strong latissimus dorsi group back, and I could do a whole bunch of chin-ups, but I got skinny arms. Ever see those guys? Okay. Ever see those guys that can squat like a ridiculous amount of weight, but they have the funniest looking calves because they're toothpicks? Okay. You see where I'm going with this? So, yeah. All right, good. So control of motion. Typically, motion is much more controlled with open kinetic chain exercises. Look at how ballistic some open kinetic chain exercises. I'm sorry, closed kinetic chain. Did I say closed kinetic chain? Or much more controlled? Okay, because that treatment platform has very little variability where it's heading. Whereas a throw with a baseball, okay, there, oftentimes as you fatigue, that control of motion becomes a factor. All right. So we typically think that because it's controlled, we want controlled motion because it's safe early in rehab, right? So we're introduced those closed kinetic chain first. And then as the patient has the motor control and the strength to really do open kinetic chain exercises safely, then we're introduced those a little later if they're real dynamic or fast. Closed kinetic chain, definitely greater axial loads. Greater joint congruency and greater joint stability. It's not always ideal for those people with problems with axial loading. Good example is I want to get someone strong in the hips or the knee, and I'm having them do some squats or mini squats, or maybe some, I don't know, some deadlifts or something like that. There's a lot of compression on the spine and other joint structures. So oftentimes it's real beneficial for the joints that you're trying to work, but not so good for the joints above and below. Okay, so we have to kind of keep in consideration maybe what we want to do with the knee, and we're dealing with a person with a knee, but maybe they have an ankle or a low back history that wouldn't dictate real heavy loads because of the axial loading. the axi. Whenever we talk about axial loading, you know, we have the appendages and we have the axial body here. It's kind of the trunk, all right? So closed kinetic chain exercises almost always put some pressure, axial loading, some compression in along the spine. Not always, but typically for lower extremity concerns, it will. I don't know too many closed kinetic chain exercises that are lower extremity that won't axial load the spine. I could think of some, but not offhand. So coactivation versus dynamic stability. I shouldn't say versus and dynamic stability. When you want to have coactivation and you want a lot of muscle groups, what's a better way? Closed kinetic chain or open kinetic chain? Close. Increase coactivation. When I do a closed kinetic chain squat, both my quads and my hamstrings are firing very aggressively. I'll tell you, you can make your legs very, very big and very, very strong with never doing a leg extension or a leg curl ever. Okay? You see those folks all the time. That's why we talk about growth and size. If you want to get someone really big, you have to do squats. You don't have to do leg extensions and you don't have to do leg curls. So, because there's a lot of really, really good coactivation with that closed kinetic chain exercise. So, you typically need more balance to do good closed kinetic chain. And there's where, if someone has weight-bearing restrictions, if it's not safe for them to walk, it's probably not safe for them to do closed kinetic chain exercises on those things, right? We still can incorporate components like the pull or underweighing devices or parallel bars. We could still probably incorporate it, but there's considerations there, right? Perfect practice makes perfect performance. So only exercise to form fatigue, that's important when we're doing closed kinetic chain exercises with injured people in the clinic. Does everybody agree with that? Yes. Exercise progression, we want to go simple to complex. For a closed kinetic chain activity, that's just going from partial weight bearing to full weight bearing is probably your best way to do it. We're listening to healing timelines. We're looking at the center, what's COM again? Center of mass. There we go. Thanks for the help. Can we get a review on METL? Very good. We're having them do it slow and controlled and then remove their speed, right? And then linear motion. Linear motion, we talk about single plane exercises, whereas, you know, you're going across body planes and diagonals. I always think of complex activities in physical therapy being those diagonal patterns, okay? All right, what's going on here? Oh, I guess this is a nice little progression. Non-weight bearing to partial weight bearing to full weight bearing, right? Easy to hard. What other components? So, center of mass inside the box to outside. So we went from here to here. Wow. Go Navy. Closed kinetic chain exercise, right? He's doing a core strengthening, but he's really firing that quad and that hamstring. If you were to do this exercise where you touch this ball on the ground or back to this thing, Your quads and your hammies will burn like all get out after about 5 to 10 repetitions, okay? And we're going to try some of these things in the clinic tomorrow. Okay, closed kinetic chain, evaluation and training. We do a lot of this stuff for testing. You want to document the time, condition, and excursions. If you make it real hard, the excursions are the ways that you make closed kinetic chain exercise more difficult. Example, single leg stance, 30 seconds with eyes open. Sway with arms at the side. Okay. So we typically try to make a closed kinetic chain exercise more unstable, or which makes it more difficult. All right. You guys ready for it? All right. Very nice. Okay. Let's go back to that. So, I'm not one of those guys that are real impressed by volume. Maybe when I was an NCO, you know, when you asked them to do it and it wasn't loud enough, do it again. I'm more impressed with the ability to remember what to do. And the fact that you guys remembered what to do there, it's powerful. Okay? See, your expectations change as you age. So, just remember that. But that was powerful. okay? Because if I'm losing the good fight, and all of a sudden all my classmates are going, ooh, I feel like I may have missed something really good. You know what I mean? So then it's very powerful. So where do open kinetic and closed kinetic chain exercises belong on the Baylor model? So strength, proprioception, endurance, and power. These are things that we consider when we're introducing whether it's going to be an open or kinetic, closed kinetic chain exercise. All right? So one might argue motor control, proprioception, all these things are necessary for closed kinetic chain. We know for open kinetic chain you have to have strength and power and endurance to affect well. Conclusions. Okay, let's get Okay. I don't know if that makes for great filming, but it's really powerful. So, conclusions. Both open kinetic chain and closed kinetic chain have a place in rehab. Do we agree?
Yes.
Open kinetic chain and closed kinetic chain are better than just open kinetic chain alone. Okay, we agree with that. Mo is better. Consider weight-bearing sensitivity prior to giving people a whole bunch of closed kinetic chain exercises, right? It's a very predictable thing when we consider the proximal and distal movement, because closed kinetic chain exercises, they're much more predictable than open kinetic chain, right? And we need a gradual progression because we don't want to do any harm, all right? So lab exercises, we're introduce some of these things in class. Heel raises, partial squats with bridging. These are all good examples of closed kinetic chain exercises, and so these are good examples of upper extremity closed kinetic chain exercises.